The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org. We all have giants in life, and know this, every giant is defeatable.
Coming up today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie takes us to the Old Testament story of David and Goliath for good insight on how to face our giants in life.
There is no power that you have to be under. There's no addiction that needs to control your life. There is no giant that should be overpowering and taunting you, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed.
This is the day.
Need a wrench. Some bolts need a big wrench. Every toolbox needs a persuader. A wrench of sufficient size and substance that no bolt can stand in its way. With a persuader, a rusted bolt, no problem. How can we approach the challenges of life with the same confidence? Pastor Greg Laurie says it has to do with our view of God. Today on A New Beginning, we'll see with a proper view of God, nothing can stand in our way.
We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. So turn there with me. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And the title of my message is How to Overcome Your Giants. How to Overcome Your Giants. So what do I mean when I say giants? Well, I'm not talking about the baseball team. I'm not talking about exceptionally large guys like basketball players. I'm talking metaphorically, because we all have giants, so to speak, that we face in life. Something dark and sinister lurking around the perimeter of your life. By a giant, I mean what seems to be an insurmountable problem or a very complex issue. You try to bring these giants down, but they seem to loom larger with the passing of time. Maybe you overcame your giant, so to speak, for a week, a month, 6 months, maybe even a year, but then you fell back again and you can't seem to conquer it. Your giant seems unstoppable. Maybe your giant is a giant of fear. There's something that's frightening you right now, something that is causing you to be terrified, something that just grips your heart, and you're always thinking about what if this happens or what if that happens. That could be your giant. For another, it might be a giant of a personal sin. It's an area of your life you can't seem to get victory in. It keeps coming back and getting control of you. It could be pride. It could be envy. It could be gluttony. It could be pornography. It could be drinking. Bringing me to another giant, a giant of addiction. Maybe you find yourself addicted to some kind of drug or addicted to drinking. Or it could be a giant of a threat of some kind, something that's taunting you. Someone has slandered or is slandering you, or they filed a lawsuit against you, or they bullied you in person or online, or they've actually threatened to kill you. Or it might be a different kind of giant, the giant of an unsaved husband or wife, or a prodigal child. Listen, your giant is anyone or anything that seeks to control you, hurt you, destroy you, or torment you in life. Let me say that again. Your giant is anyone or anything that seeks to control you, hurt you, destroy you, or torment you in life. So how do you deal with giants? Well, you defeat them. But how do you defeat a giant? Glad you asked that question. And that's what we're going to look at in the very familiar story of David and Goliath. Now, David was both a worshiper and a warrior. He was both a lover and a fighter. He was a shepherd boy who became the greatest king in the history of Israel. So the people wanted a king, Now, the Lord didn't really want him to have a king. He wanted to rule them through the judges that would hear from God and speak to them, judges like Gideon and others. But no, they said, we want a king.
All the other nations have a king. We want a king.
So they kept whining about it. Lord said, you want a king? You sure? Yeah, we want a king. Okay, here he is. Saul. Now, Saul was the people's choice. He was the guy that everyone loved. He looked like he should have been a leading man in a film. Head and shoulders taller than anybody else. Charismatic kind of an individual. But the problem is Saul started pretty well, and then he disobeyed God, and the Lord said, I've rejected Saul from being the king of Israel, and now I'm going to go for my choice. I gave you your choice. Now here's my choice. And he comes to the prophet Samuel. He says, you'll find your next king living in Bethlehem. Isn't that interesting? Where we've heard of that place. Well, that's where Jesus was born. And why was Jesus born in Bethlehem? Because he was to be of the root and offspring of David, and that was the boyhood town of David. But the problem is, Samuel didn't know who the next king was, but he just knew he was one of the sons of a guy named Jesse. So he showed up in town, said, Jesse, I need to meet all your sons. And so Jesse pulled out his seven strapping sons. Just magnificent looking young men. They were the magnificent seven. And as the prophet walked down the line, the Lord said, that's not the one, that's not the one, that's not the one. There was one that stood out. His name was Eliab, and he was pretty handsome. And Samuel said, that's got to be the guy. The Lord said, no, that's not the one. And by the way, don't judge according to outward appearance. I look in the heart. Okay. Hey, do you have any other sons? Asked the prophet. Jesse says, well, I have one other boy. Yeah, well, where is he? He's out in the field. He's kind of weird. He's a musician. He writes a lot of songs, loves to play his little stringed instrument, and watch his little flock of sheep. Well, bring him in. And in comes bounding David, full of youthful energy. And the Lord speaks to the prophet and says, that's my man. So the prophet pulls out his anointing oil, pours it on the head of David. He says, you're the next king of Israel. Got to go. Bye. And leaves. There's David like, what do I do now? So he went back to watching his sheep. So that's kind of how the story begins. Well, fast forward, a conflict is developed. The enemies of the Israelites, the Philistines, have challenged them to a war. And they're at a valley called Elah. On one side are the Philistines. On the other side are the Israelites. And the representative of the Philistines was a 9-foot-6-inch dude named Goliath. Solid muscle, covered in body armor, a massive shield, and a sword, and a helmet, and everything else, and he wanted a fight. So he said, I'll make a deal with you guys. Let's have a fight, and instead of our whole armies fighting, how about if you just send your best man to fight me, and if I win, then you guys serve us, and if your guy wins, then we will serve you. Well, this is kind of a win-win opportunity for Goliath, because he knew no one's going to beat me. They don't have anyone in their camp that will even face me, much less beat me on the battlefield. So he taunted them over and over again. Meanwhile, back in Bethlehem, Jesse says, David, I need you to take some food to your brothers. Take some bread and cheese to your brothers who are in the military there. So basically, it was a pizza delivery, right? What is bread and cheese? I call it pizza. I don't know what you call it. So David shows up. Here's Goliath bellowing from the valley of Elah looking for someone to fight him. And David standing there with his pizza boxes. Pizza, pizza. Like trying to figure out what is going on here. And he listens to Goliath. Who's that guy? Oh, that's Goliath. No one will fight him. David's thinking, well, why? Why doesn't someone take that guy on? See, in the mind of David, this was just another predator who needed to go down. David wasn't just a musician. He could fight. And he fought wild beasts to protect his sheep. And he was quite efficient with this little sling of his and a stone. And so he volunteered to go fight Goliath.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have the second half of his message in just a moment.
Hey everybody, Greg Laurie here. I want to tell you about a great way to hear God's word and worship with fellow believers, not only around the nation, but around the world. It's called Harvest at Home.
Millions are tuning in from all over the planet, and tens of thousands have made decisions for Jesus Christ. Why not join us?
You just go to our website, harvest.org. We have our weekend services there, of course, but we also have great ministry there every single day. Sometimes it's visiting a message from a Harvest Crusade. Another time it's a Q&A session we're doing. Maybe it's something my wife is doing for the ladies, and we even feature Christian films.
Movies such as Lost Boy, Pastor Greg's life story, Steve McQueen, American Icon, and Hope for Hurting Hearts with Jeremy Camp and Nick Vujicic.
All that and a lot more at harvest.org.
It's your resource for family enrichment and spiritual growth.
So join us for Harvest at Home each week at harvest.org.
Well, we're just getting started in our study of the practical lessons to be learned from the familiar story of David and Goliath. Here's Pastor Greg once again.
Here is where we discover how to defeat our giants. 1 Samuel 17, I'm going to start in verse 40, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. David picked up 5 smooth stones from a stream and put them in his shepherd's bag. Then, armed only with his shepherd's staff and sling, he started across to fight Goliath. Goliath walked toward David with his shield bearer ahead of him. Sneering in contempt at the ruddy-faced boy, he roared at David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with a stick?" And he cursed David by the names of his gods. Goliath yelled, "Come over here and I'll give your flesh to the birds and wild animals." Now look at what David does. David shouts in reply, "You come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And today," David says, "the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you, and I will cut off your head, and then I'll give the dead bodies of your men to the wild birds and animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel, and everyone will know that the Lord does not need weapons to rescue his people. It's his battle, not ours. The Lord will give you to us." Now look at this. Don't miss this verse. As Goliath moved closer to attack, underline this, David quickly ran out to meet him. David didn't just hold his ground. He took ground. He ran quickly out to meet him. Verse 49, reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it from his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and fell face downward on the ground. Then notice that David finishes the job. 1 Samuel 17:50. So David triumphed over the Philistine giant with only a stone and a sling. And since he had no sword, he ran over and pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. And David used it to kill the giant and cut off his head. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they turned and ran. Come on, that's a great story. I love that story. Never get tired of it. What a victory. So now the will of the Philistines is broken. The Israelites are reinvigorated. David, the shepherd boy, had cut down the giant Goliath. They even wrote a hit song that was number one on Israeli radio that played constantly. And the lyrics of the song were, "Oh, Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his tens of thousands." David was a hero. So what do we learn from this? If you're taking notes, here's point number one. We all have giants in life. We all have giants in life. We all face severe hardships and seemingly insurmountable obstacles and temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13 reminds us, remember the temptations that come into your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He'll keep the temptation from becoming so strong you can't stand up against it. So when you're tempted, he'll show you a way out so you will not give into it. So we all have a giant. And whatever you're going through, and I don't know what that is, but it's not unique necessarily to you. Someone else is facing something similar, or someone has faced something similar. We all have giants in life. And know this, every giant is defeatable. Every giant is defeatable. Here's something else to consider. Goliath was not always a giant. I mean, he's a man. So he was born, probably a very big baby, wouldn't you think? Probably a very demanding baby. Kind of a scary baby, right? And no one wanted to change his diaper, right? He was a giant of a person. And it's hard to look at a little baby and think that he grew into this giant of a man. And I simply bring that up because giants don't start as giants. They usually start small, and you don't treat them seriously. You don't see them as a threat that they are, and they get bigger and bigger with the passing of time. And they start small, and then they get big. So that's how sin comes. It comes in a way that doesn't seem so threatening, right? Remember how the mighty Samson was defeated? He was defeated by a woman named Delilah. And he thought it was a joke, Delilah. I mean, I kill Philistines for entertainment. What is she going to do to me? A petite young lady? You say, how do you know that? Because her name Delilah meant delicate. So she's probably a very small, very attractive young lady. She walks up to him and says, hi there. Why don't you tell me the secret of your strength so I might torment you? He's like, oh, seriously? He underestimated her. And you know the rest of the story. He never asked where she worked. She would have told him, I work at Supercuts. Be careful, big guy. Because I know that your commitment to God is symbolized by your beautiful long hair that you're so proud of. And she found out the secret of his strength, and it resulted in him having his eyes gouged out, being defeated. So sin doesn't usually start big, it starts small. Point number two, David knew the battle belonged to the Lord. He knew the battle belonged to the Lord. Verse 47, he said to Goliath, it's his battle, not ours. The Lord will give you to us. That's how he could bring a rock to a sword fight. Because that's exactly what he did. This was a war. He said, I'm good. Got my sling. Just found a very nice, smooth stone. And it's a reminder to us that we're in a spiritual battle. And you fight a spiritual battle with spiritual weapons. And so that is the way we need to come at the challenges that we face in life. And we're afraid of our giants. We're afraid of these threats against us. But we need to remember that God is in control and he's more powerful than our adversary. Greater is he that is in you, the Bible reminds us, than he that is in the world. Listen, there is no power that you have to be under. There's no addiction that needs to control your life. There is no giant that should be overpowering and taunting you, because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. So here's David now getting ready to face this giant. So we understand that God's given us spiritual tools to work with. For instance, when we face crisis, what do? We worry. Worry, worry. Not very productive. In fact, it's counterproductive. And what does the Bible say? Worry about everything and never pray about anything. Well, by the way some Christians act, you would think the Bible actually does say that, but the Bible says the very opposite, doesn't it? Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything, and the peace of God that passes all human understanding will guard your heart and mind in Jesus Christ. So here's my giant. Here's my problem. Here's my obstacle. It freaks me out. It scares me, and I start to worry. No, I need to start praying and remind myself God is bigger than this giant, and I'm now going to use the spiritual weaponry that he has given to me. Look at verse 47. It says, David speaking, everyone will know the Lord does not need weapons to rescue his people. It's his battle, not ours. The Lord will give you to us. And that brings me to point number three, attack your giants. Attack your giants. Earlier in the story, verse 25, chapter 17, we read that Goliath had come up into their camp. So it's not just that Goliath was in the valley. You know, let's say that you're the Israelites, and let's say I'm Goliath, and let's say the Philistines are there. It's not that just Goliath was saying, come on, let's fight. He was coming right into their camp. He's walking up around him. Yeah, who's going to fight me? Hey, what about you? Who about, you want to do it? And he was like in their face. So that's how sin is. It's going to get closer and encroach on you. He crossed the ravine, went over to their side. And so if you tolerate a giant, they'll take over your territory. They'll come right up on your doorstep. That's why you don't run from giants. You attack them. You deal with them. Look at verse 48. As Goliath moved closer to attack, David ran quickly out to meet him. He ran at his giant. So now let's get specific. Let's say that you have a problem with some kind of substance. Maybe it's drugs. Maybe it's weed. Maybe it's some other kind of a thing that you're trapped by. Maybe it's drinking. Maybe it's something else. Okay, you got to bring it out into the light of day. Quit covering it up. Quit rationalizing it. Quit justifying it and say, I have a problem and I need to face this giant in the light of day. I need to deal with this. Push it out of the shadows of darkness where it has lurked and bring it out in the open. And then that brings me to point number four, finish the giant off. That's why he cut his head off, because his heart was still beating. That was a big heart. You know, and that was a big head. Probably took a while to cut it off. You know, you're right. 10 minutes later. Big head, big neck, big guy, big giant. Why did he cut his head off? Because if you don't cut their heads off, they'll come back for you later. So we all have a giant. Bring your giant, your addiction, your issue, your problem, your whatever that is bothering you into the light of day. Call on God and pray for his power and attack it. Don't put it off a week or a month or a year. Deal with it right now. And fourthly, finish your giant off.
Pastor Greg Laurie with some practical counsel today on finding victory over our personal giants. And he's not finished with this message. There's more to come here on A New Beginning, next time and in just a moment, as Pastor Greg returns with a final comment. If you missed any part of today's study, you can get caught up by listening to the message again online at harvest.org. Just look for the message called How to Overcome Your Giants. That's at harvest.org. Or contact us for a permanent copy on CD. Dial 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Well, Pastor Greg, we have some special guests on the program today. Why don't you introduce them?
Yes, they do, Dave. With us are Catherine and Jay Wolf. And they have a brand new book out that is called Suffer Strong, subtitled How to Survive Anything by Redefining Everything. Jay writes, our stories are glorious. They're also painful, unfair, scary, and almost always quite different from what we thought that they would be. Yet it seems that these parts might be the very means through which the glory is most revealed. More than a decade ago, on an ordinary day, life as we knew it changed. Jay, maybe you could tell us how life changed for you.
Sure. We were 26 at the time, living in Malibu. I was going to Pepperdine Law School. We had a six-month-old baby and just every dream right in front of us, right within our grasp, it seemed, of me graduating law school, and Catherine was in the entertainment industry and we had this new baby. And out of the blue, I came home for lunch, kind of just so happened to come home from a little 45-minute window. And during that time, Catherine collapsed. She was totally healthy, no symptoms, no family history, and was rushed to the hospital. And they found out she was having a massive brainstem stroke. And we would soon learn that it was most likely she would not survive the day because of this incredible bleed happening in her brain. And again, there was no warning, no symptoms, no family history. It was caused by a very rare congenital defect called an AVM that she had had her whole life, but had no warning of until that day when it ruptured. And unfortunately, it was the largest they had seen, four aneurysms on top of it around her brainstem. You know, it was just every worst case scenario. And the doctor on call, I believe I was a lawyer, a law student at the time, and that wasn't great for helping the case for him to even try to operate, you know, that I was a lawyer. And yet I think the Holy Spirit just impressed on his heart that he needed to give this mom a second chance to live. And he did. And 16 hours later, she came out of surgery and they had removed part of her brain. They had done a lot of damage around her brainstem and her intracranial nerves. And yet they said Catherine lived. And to this day, that was in 2008. And so we're going to be celebrating 12 years of a second chance at life. And, wow. You know, little did we know, it would change our stories forever.
Yeah.
For not just Catherine, but our whole family.
Which is honestly what that book is about. Suffer Strong is about redefining how we see everything. And it is game-changing, of course, because we know it isn't about what happens to us that really matters. It's about how we think about it, mm-hmm. how we remember it, how we wake up to what God is doing in the story he's writing in our lives.
Yeah, it's such a powerful story. And the way they've coped and adjusted, and more than that, grown and developed through their hardship is inspiring. What better encouragement for the times we're facing right now? Again, it's the book called Suffer Strong by Catherine and Jay Wolfe. And we'd like to send it to you to thank you for your investment in this daily outreach, bringing hope to those who desperately need it. In fact, we recently saw this social media post. Dear Pastor Greg, I love listening to you preach, and I love taking notes on your sermons, too. I'm disabled by severe pain, but I'm praying to be able to be in church someday soon in Orange County. I've been faithfully attending the noon service from my living room on Roku for 5 years. Isn't that great? And your investment helps us bring hope to so many who need it, just like this friend. So thank you for your donation today. You can write us at A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. Next time, Pastor Greg has more strategic counsel for the conflict we face with the giants in our lives. But before we go for today, he has this closing comment.
How many times have you seen a movie where the good guy has just overpowered the bad guy, shot him, strangled him, hit him, whatever he did, the guy's down. And then the good guy, for some reason, is on a phone facing the camera. And you can tell by the way the shot is framed, because there's a little space over his shoulder. You know what's going to happen. You're waiting, all of a sudden, bad guy just out of nowhere, and he comes at the guy. We're like, look behind you, you idiot. Well, David had seen that movie. He knew it. He says, that scene is not going to happen in my story. So verse 51 of 1 Samuel 17 says, he ran over, pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath, and he killed the giant. And that's what you need to do as well. Finish your giant off.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.